The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Something big is happening at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Take up to $15,000 off all remaining 2018 Cadillacs. It's all going on now during the Big Win Sales event. You can't miss up to $15,000 off new Cadillacs. Just ask for General Manager Brian Danahy, our good friend here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, and he'll take up to $15,000 off your next Cadillac. All the details are at the dealership. Get to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com. That's edmorsecadillactampa.com. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, pick your car, now pick your payment. That's right, pick your car, now pick your payment. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com is the website. You will see all kinds of incredible options there. They are right there on Causeway Boulevard for you in Brandon. So easy to get to. Beautiful dealership. Ira and I have been out there several times, and all new 2018 Cadillacs get 0% financing for up to 60 months, plus receive $2,000 down payment assistance at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Their website, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. That's where you get it started, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. And here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, it's a happy, happy Tuesday because your Ira Kaufman Podcast is here, starring the great sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. We are so happy to see you, Ira. Looking good. We're at One Buck Palace. How are you today?
I'm refreshed. I had a little vacation retreat, a little fan retreat before the big fan retreat. 3 days in Daytona Beach League. Heck of a pick-me-up. Hotel right on the beach. By the way, first 15 minutes, went out there. Not used to the waves.
Uh-oh.
Hat on, sunglasses on. Within 90 seconds, little 2-foot wave came over me. Hat gone, glasses gone, never found again. What happens to me at these beaches? I lost my, somebody stole my chairs last year. This time I can't blame anybody but Mother Nature. Glasses gone, hat gone, wife looking at me cross-eyed like, who the heck goes out there with a hat and sunglasses when you're going to have waves crashing over your head? I got to learn from these things, Lee.
But you still found a way to watch the Bucks in Daytona Beach Saturday night.
I figured, you know, we're going to get a rerun of Gilligan's Island or something. But I checked it out, and it was on Fox, and I got the Buck broadcast. Rondé, Myers, the whole nine yards, and another impressive performance. Steve, I'm here to say, here's my memo to Dirk Cutter. Smile a little bit. Cutter, you're 2-0, baby. 2-0.
Well, we'll talk about why he's probably not smiling too much. I think there's probably 3 or 4 reasons, maybe some layers. But Sage, it is wonderful to see you here. And of course, your podcast, as we heard, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Those great offers are firing through the month of August. We're actually going to be probably out there, Ira, September 6th. Put it on your calendar, a little Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon visit. We'll talk to you about that after the show.
Oh, that's the day before I leave for New Orleans, baby. There you go.
Exactly, exactly. And, of course, that's fanretreat.com, the Fan Retreat Bourbon Street Takeover. Now, there's some hot news on that, Ira, right off my phone, which I'm going to dig out here. Fanretreat.com, the Bourbon Street Takeover. That's the ultimate road trip of the season with you and Lee. We'll be at the game, party the night before.
Commish will be there.
Commish, the stick carriers. I think there's close to 100 people who are going to be going already, and it's early still. Now, you want to go to fanretreat.com, click on Popular Retreats, and there you can see all the information. Now, the details are there now for the bus. If you are flying out Sunday night, there's going to be a bus from the stadium, take you right to the airport.
Fantastic.
So that is an option for you if you're wondering, oh, well, you know, there's going to be right after the game, getting a chartered bus right to the airport, Bucks victory in hand, and that's pretty exciting. So that's a new option, and all the details are there. And if you want more details, email Sean, S-E-A-N, at fanretreat.com, Sean at fanretreat.com. And, of course, Fan Retreat, if you're unaware, that's your home for all event tickets, Bucks tickets, Rays tickets, concert tickets, whatever, anywhere around the country. And, of course, you can get all your flights, your hotels. Your hotel, Ira, is booked through fanretreat.com. And a great road trip. You can still do it inexpensively. I was looking at Saints tickets for the game, starting at like $55.
Wow.
So you can still, they sell out, but you can still get in there pretty cheap. So pretty darn cool. I'll get to that other nugget about the trip later.
By the way, tonight when this broadcast airs, Tuesday night, I'm not going to get any sleep. You know why, Mr. DeKemper? I'll be boning up, making my final selections for Fantasy League. Steve will be talking about that, but that's coming up in the middle of this week.
Absolutely. All right, now look, we had a football game, something called a football game. Game two, we all read your column.
These games don't count, but they matter.
Now, you
like
said
that?
They do count for Tampa. It's something you've said on the podcast before, that when you're a woebegone franchise and all that goes with it, you know, you need to show something in preseason. It's not just the Patriots running through the motions. So, Ira, you came into this podcast positive. Maybe give us a couple of positives that we can hang our hat on deeper than what you wrote about or something you've reflected on a little more.
All right, I'll give you my first positive, Lee. They're scoring some freaking points. Last year, four preseason games. Four. 43 points total. Is that any way to go into a season of great expectations with the Hard Knocks and we're coming off 9-7? They're utilizing their weapons, Lee. We knew they had weapons. You hardly knew it last year because DeSean Jackson was a zephyr. Yeah, not a non-factor. Mike Evans, you know, with all this hullabaloo about reaching the 1,000-yard mark, scores five touchdowns. That's not an elite receiver. All of a sudden, everybody's contributing. Even the guys fighting for the fifth and sixth, Justin Watson, you know, is looking like Paul Warfield over here. They're making do with their weapons. Look, I know we'll get to Ronald Jones. And, you know, look, not everything's hunky-dory. But their third down percentage is very good. And by the way, their third down defensive percentage is also very good. I think that's something we can draw from. Lee, I'm sticking with it. A team like the Bucs needs to develop a winning culture, a winning habit. You feel good about yourself. I know it's preseason. I know Tennessee didn't play their guys, first teamers, maybe as much as the Bucs did. Maybe Miami didn't do it as much as the Bucs did in week one. But a win's a win's a win, Lee. They were pretty darn impressive on the road, 2 weeks on the road, where the Bucs, you know, were terrible last year, didn't show up. Now, look, are we going to remember the score of this game, you know, in week three of the regular season? Are we going to look back and remember that, you know, they won 30-14 or what? No. But, Lee, guys are showing up. And Winston hit DeSean Jackson with a long pass. And to me, that's a freaking headline around here. How do you like that?
Well, I'll tell you what. The other day, the last practice that they had at the indoor facility, I was talking to one of our media brethren, and I said, is it just me or is Jameis lights out on target, accurate? I don't ever remember him being this accurate in training camp. And he looked at me, and this guy's a big fan of Jameis. He looked at me and goes, no, because I've noticed the same thing. And he doesn't know if this is a change in philosophy. He used to be where, and Jameis all but admitted it, that he would test. He would throw errant passes on purpose, see what he'd get away with, see what receivers could do, you know, stuff in a pinch, you know, like that crazy pass the other night in the game, although his worst pass turned out to be 6 points. You almost wonder if it's preseason, if he was just doing it as a test to see what Godwin could do. I don't know that. It might be a stretch, but that's what Jameis used to do in past training camps. Now it's looking like, you know, whatever happens in training camp carries over in the regular season. It's almost like someone told him that.
Steve,
and he's been accurate this training camp.
Steve, it can't be a stretch to say there's a new sense of urgency surrounding Jameis Winston. That's not a stretch, and I'll tell you why. His first 3 years with the Bucs, his future was assured. I mean, his immediate future. He was going to be here the next year. Don't worry about it. You're going to be here. You're going to be here. That may not be no longer be the case, Steve. I mean, he's looking at $21 million. In 2019, if he starts 13 games and goes 5-8, I'll say it again. I'm not giving him the money. I'm not giving it to him. And we haven't even talked about the off-the-field issues. So I'm not giving him that money. I think he realizes that. He's got to be sharper. He's got to be smarter. With the exception of that Hail Mary, of which he says he knew that there was going to be a penalty against the Titans. We can get into that a little bit. But I looked at Dirk Cutter after the game. He didn't look like he's going along with that idea. He said, you saw the tape. You saw the throw. I mean, what does that tell you? Winston had a heck of a second quarter. That doesn't mean he's going to have a heck of a season, Steve. But so far, so good with Jameis Winston. And he seems to be handling this humble pie the right way.
Jameis was very exciting, Ira. And, you know, I'm going to have to play a couple of sides with you here because you mentioned the real important thing. The crux of what you were saying is Bucks need to show something in preseason, a changed culture, a different culture.
Get the fans excited.
Yeah, and, you know, that's not just one guy playing really well. It's a culture, and that's what really got under my skin in that game is the sluggish start. They're down 7-3 after the first quarter. The opening drive, if you go back and look at it, it's embarrassing. They look like they weren't even ready to play. And the defense held. Defense was strong. Bucks come back. And then they fail in the red zone. And then the defense gives up the booty with a 40-yard screen pass where Brent Grimes, Kwan, and Justin Evans all screwed up. And next thing you know, Mariota's out. Second teamers are in for Tennessee. You came out slow again.
Steve, Fitzpatrick wasn't very good.
Oh, it was both sides
of
the ball.
You haven't mentioned it. He wasn't very good.
He wasn't very good. But, you know, just like we can't go too crazy that Jameis had a great second quarter of a preseason game, can't go too crazy that Fitzpatrick wasn't a superstar in two or three series. They got to shake those slow starts. And I'll say it because we've talked about it and it's so critical. They averaged 8 points. I went finished the math yesterday. They averaged 8.4 points in the first half of games last year. You can't do that. You can't keep doing that. You got to come out faster. And because we're hoping, we're all three of us here sitting there hoping that they can find a way to win 9 or 10 games.
Wait, they're never playing from ahead. That's what it tells you. Never playing from ahead.
But a lot of good things in the game. Lee, what do you make of the Sage's take here?
On the mark. You know, they got, even though it's the preseason.
The weapon showed up, Lee. The weapon showed up.
And they have to show a sense of urgency. I mean, even though it doesn't mean anything, they got to be clicking. They really have to be clicking at kickoff in New Orleans because they're down their franchise quarterback.
You know, one thing I noticed, Lee, tell me if it jumped out at you, but if Winston and Fitzpatrick can put the ball in the vicinity of a Cameron Brate, of a Mike Evans, of Godwin, and maybe of this kid Watson, they're going to catch the ball. The problem, and DeSean Jackson, the problem with DeSean Jackson last year was the ball wasn't close enough to him to even draw a flag.
Well,
that was one of my pet peeves, you know, throw five long balls, you're going to get a couple of flags. Well, the ball's got to be pretty close to get the penalty.
There were more than a couple of plays, and I wasn't the only one that saw this. DeSean Jackson really didn't fight for the ball. He didn't react to the ball that great. Unless Jameis threw just about a perfect pass, for whatever reason, he wouldn't fight for the ball. You know, the quarterback still has to get it. It's still a quarterback's fault, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like Jackson was laying himself out to try to get some of those passes. But at any rate, you make a valid point. And Jameis has always said that. He said he learned that from Cutter. Give your receivers a chance. Give them a chance. And with those tall receivers, just get it, you know, in their vicinity. And Watson, my gosh, that was a beautifully, beautiful run route, beautiful catch. He looked like Humphreys with the hands, looked like Evans with the feet.
That was his best throw of the night, by the way. That was a hell of a throw.
And did you see the time he had on that? My gosh, when people always scream about the offensive line, he could order a pizza. He had so much time.
Steve, before we go crazy over number three, that pass to Mike Evans down the left side was not a great pass.
No, great catch.
Reaction.
Great catch, yeah.
Now, may I throw this out at Mr. Isbitz with you know, the danger of being rebuffed here. if he led DeSean Jackson a little more.
Oh, that's
a touchdown.
Yeah, that's splitting hairs, Ira.
Come on.
Nitpicking.
You get it? Come on.
And I can't give too much credit for the Hail Mary. I mean, come on. No. I can't.
Well, let's talk about that pass real quick, but I want to run one quote by Ira since I know you didn't read it yet. This is O.J. Howard. First couple of drives, we got out there. We really didn't do what we were supposed to do. You know, I think we just had a lot of jitters. Probably just had a lot of lag sitting around all day.
Jitters? What are you going to do when you go to the Superdome? Jitters?
Jitters is not one. He was talking about the offense. There's not one rookie on that starting offense. Jitters? What are they scared of? The Titans in preseason?
Come on, Howard. You can do. Did you learn anything at Alabama better than that? And I mean, by the way,
lag? What's lag? There's no jet lag to Nashville.
Lee, I'm going to be in regular season form during this podcast. I'm not fooling around over here. And I'm going to throw this out. And I know they talked about it on the broadcast and everything. And I'm not knocking O.J. Howard. I think he's going to be a good player in this league. But I'm telling you right now, as we stand, Cameron Brate's better than him.
Yep.
Cameron Brate is a better football player, and they're gushing about O.J. Howard's going to do this. And all I know is every time they throw a ball to Brate, he catches it.
Brate,
that's all I know.
Yeah, Brate can catch well, but let's not pretend that he's a better blocker than O.J. O.J.'s a better blocker. And O.J. has the capability of going downfield better than Brate.
You can talk downfield all you want. All I know is Brate makes catches in traffic, Steve. He makes third down catches. He's got a connection with Winston that O.J. Howard doesn't have yet.
Hey, through two games, O.J. Howard, he didn't catch a ball in the first game. He was one of the only guys. And this game, he had a drop.
He had a drop.
And he didn't look that great. It's preseason. You know, he's a savage talent.
I guess I'm talking up Brait more than I'm knocking.
I mean, Brait has that chemistry, and he's a great pass catcher.
You ever seen Brait drop a ball, Lee?
Once or twice, but it's
rare. We're shocked. I'm not arguing that Howard's a better blocker. I'm not going to argue that. But no,
he's a more complete player for sure, and you know, plenty of time to go. But you know, you brought up, Ira, that pass by Jameis, right? That's the highlight. That's the one that was went viral. It's on all the national highlight shows. It had Bucks fans talking, pulling their hair out. And in this building where we sit right now, Todd Monken, Mike Bajakian, Dirk Cutter, these are the guys in Jameis's ear. What were they thinking when they saw the pass, when they watched the pass, when they break down the film with Jameis? Did they rip him a new one for that?
You can't judge that pass by the outcome. You judge that pass by the decision-making. And under those circumstances, it was a dumb play. Now, unless he was 100% sure that that flag was going to be against the Titans.
That's dubious.
And that's
claim.
Hard to believe.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe. So, to Steve's point, you got to chew him out because that's the one knock on Winston. Eat the ball. You know, don't try to make a play where it's not there. It's not as easy when the play results in a touchdown to chew the guy's ass out.
Yeah.
You understand that.
Yeah.
But that's a dumb play.
And briefly, I saw two field-level angles. Briefly from the field level, it looked like Godwin's open. And, of course, he wasn't open for long, but it didn't look as stupid. I mean, it was still
hung in the air like a helium balloon.
On the TV angle, the 50-yard angle, whatever, it looked like a Hail Mary pass. But on a field level, it didn't look so dumb. So I don't know. I mean,
you know, you throw that ball with 3 seconds left in the half, nobody's arguing with you.
It's third down in the red zone, and you're losing. It was a needless pass. He's in the grasp. He's leaning back. He's going down.
Got no zip on the ball.
I mean, there's no reason. It's everything. The whole point is that it's everything they told him not to do, but he did it anyway. Now, I don't know if that's some sort of systemic problem. Maybe Dirk Cutter and the staff needed to approach this with Jameis on Sunday a little differently by saying, look, we've screamed at you before not to do it. Now, maybe, you know, I don't know.
How they get him to do it? Old habits die hard, Lee. It's not easy.
Well, there's a couple of things at work here. One is, has Cutter, by his reaction to that play, he has not come out and said it was a dumb play, but he's sure hinted it was a dumb play. Has he all but given up? Like, this is going to be my cross. This is Jameis. I can't say anything
I don't think
more.
We can say that he's given up, but it's a work in progress, Steve. It's not. He's not there yet.
Well, it's a fair point by Lee. I think that's a fair question. Look, Cutter, after the game, like you said, he was asked about it in great detail, was asked if this is one of those classic Jameis, yes, moments. Yeah. That was the quote in the question. And Cutter said he paused, he put his head down, he said, well, you saw the tape. And then the next day, Sunday, they asked Cutter about the quarterback play, and he raves, oh, Jameis was lights out, and the one that was called back on Godwin on a holding call was great, and this was a great decision, that one. Meanwhile, the play that every fan is talking about, Cutter didn't even list as a good play, a touchdown.
He can't endorse that play because that sends a bad message.
That's true, but to Steve's point, last year it was a similar play, although if you look at the replay, the Jacksonville was much worse, but somewhere he was going down, shouldn't have thrown it. Preseason game in Jacksonville. Cutter had no problem saying that was a dumb play. You know, he was, if I remember correctly, after the game, he said, but for one play, Jameis had a nice game. And we knew what he was talking about. This time he wouldn't even go there. But here's my second point. Post-game press conference, Jameis said, you know, why'd you throw that? Basically, he was asked. And he said, there's such an emphasis this year on scoring touchdowns in the red zone. Do you think that Cutter has harped on these guys so much that Jameis threw that because I got to get six points. We're in the red zone.
If that's the case, Steve, then I really question, the way Winston's analyzing what this team needs. you got to score touchdowns in the red zone, but you also got to play smart football. That was not a smart football play. I'm sorry. It was not.
No, I mean, we'll never know unless Todd Monken finally gets in front of a microphone and with the leash off.
Oh, by the way, Ira. Did you see the new rules for media this year?
Yes, I did.
Once a month, all position coaches have to be available.
Yes, I did.
Position coaches, which is interesting, gives us much more insight. We usually get them, once a year, twice a year, different ballgame now, which is exciting. Fans may not, sitting and listening to it now, may not feel that, but it will be exciting to get some more insight on the team.
By the way, Cutter was asked again on Monday. Is there a chance that Ryan Griffin could start week one? We got to stop asking that.
Yeah, stop that.
That's silly. That's silly.
He was polite about it, though. He said, no way, basically.
You know, he loves him some Ryan Griffin, but he's not trusting his future, unless he has to.
There you go. Exactly. We Steve and I had a lot of comments over the weekend about Ryan Griffith maybe starting in New Orleans, not Fitzpatrick, because Fitz obviously didn't look good the other night. And I basically replied to one guy, your cutter, you know, they need wins. You going to put your career on the line with a guy who hasn't taken a snap in a regular season game against the Eagles, Steelers, and Saints?
There's a couple of stats, Ira. One stat that you'll like because you like stats. We're going to call you the tribesman over here. But before training camp started, I wrote a piece looking back at Ryan Fitzpatrick's training camps and off an interview he had with Catherine Smith of Spectrum. Fitzpatrick will tell you, I don't play very well in camp, preseason, but when the lights really count, I play much better. I even dealt with that as a kid in camps or tryouts and stuff.
Yeah, maybe his juices aren't
flowing
as much. So
that's just him. But he also has, I think it was five, the Nugget is five Player of the Week awards in the NFL, Offensive Player of the Week awards. He's prone to having big games once in a while. And Cutter's hoping for him to get hot for just one of them.
Hey, by the way, I want to clear this up, guys. This needs clarification because I saw it on Twitter, and I don't want this to be a runaway train. And I think it was probably DeKemper that said, brought it to at iKaufman76 attention. But some fan was saying, this idea that Winston wouldn't start week four is preposterous. And the next thing I know is DeKemper's referring it to at Ira Kaufman. Let me make myself very clear. Barring 100-1 shot that the Bucs are 3-0 and Fitzpatrick is playing very good football. Barring that, Jameis Winston's going to be the starter.
Okay.
All right, I want to get that out there. Barring that. If he's 3-0, we got a discussion. We got to discuss because maybe you made wait another week. You got a little bit of a cushion. What are the odds the Bucs are going to go 3-0? Even the most cockeyed optimist Buck fan would say, ooh, that sounds like a long shot.
Well, speaking of the record in their first three games, what it may be, Bobby Fenton on his podcast, and I love his podcast, The Free Stretch. You can see that on JoeBucksFan.com weekly on Thursdays. And Bobby obviously was a radio personality.
Are you guys going to try to corral every decent podcast in town over there at the Kemper?
Yes.
Is that your aim?
That's my aim. All right. Bobby threw this out there. If you're a gambling man, and I know you like to talk odds, but though you don't gamble, but you find it intriguing. Straight up, would you bet that the Bucks would go 0-3 or at least win one game? The house is they'll win one game. Bobby Fenton said he'd bet the house all day long.
I think Steve would agree with me. We would bet that they will not go 0-3.
Yeah, I bet that they win one of their first three at least. So, yeah, Bobby's in on the win one?
Yeah, he said absolutely they'll win one game. Because the odds of any team going 0-3 are not that good to begin with.
Especially with two home games. Especially if that helps the cause.
Well, not this team.
Well.
Cleveland South.
It affects the guys on the other side of the ball. I'll say this, Ira. Look, you said 100-1 shot. Well, I firmly believe let me finish here because I'm getting somewhere. If they're 2-1, you have to put your brain in the mindset of fans and ownership and the coach. How they got to 2-1 and the excitement and the roll and the run. And Dirk Cutter himself talks about, quote, Big Mo. He talked about that last year, how his father used to preach momentum, that it's a big part of sports, and he's into that stuff. 2-1 is, and it would be a very interesting animal. Now, you, Ira, I saw you, eyeballed you, talking to the big-time movers and shakers, the biggest of the biggest here at $1. You don't think those guys, you think those guys would care who starts week four if they're 2-1, as fired up as they are for the team?
Well, you're also assuming that Fitzpatrick's a major reason why they're 2-1. If Fitzpatrick's playing mediocre and the defense is doing its job, it's all about the defense, Lee. I mean, come on. There's no way around it.
I'll throw you this, Ira. Suppose Fitzpatrick is playing like he did last year. No turnovers, moving the ball, 2-1.
Jameis time.
All right.
Jameis time.
All right, Sage.
By the way, I was on a radio show today. I think I might have been in Charlotte, guys.
You don't even know where.
Doing a Buck preview. And, the guy's asking me about the defense. He's going, position by position. Mm-hmm. And he's asking me about the defense. And I said to the guy, I go, you may not believe this, but they went from number one in third down defense in 2016 to number 32. And the guy said, you're making that up. That can happen. So that's one of the astounding, facts about the 2017 Bucks. You may never see that again in the National Football League.
I hope not.
They've been
playing
100 years. You may never see that again. That's got to change. Lee, they got to get middle of the pack. Well, you can't be number 32 in third down defense. You got all these weapons. Give him a chance to get on the freaking field.
That's why I always bring up, you know, Bill Polian said it when, you know, people were asking one time about Jameis. Well, he doesn't win games. And Polian said, with that pass defense, it's impossible to hold a lead in the fourth quarter. So he even gave Jameis a break on that. But that you lead into something here, Ira. A longtime loyal reader of JoeBucksFan.com, Chris Bell. Chris is a great guy. Anytime he sees something out in the Twitterverse or the interwebs or whatever, something obscure but it's Bucks-related, he makes sure Steve and I get a link to it. He's a great guy.
No wonder you guys find everything that's moving about the Bucks.
Well, he's a bird dog.
You got
like
tentacles
me.
Out there. You got your peeps out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we have bird dog scouts. You're right. Well, Chris asked this, and he's not talking about stats here. He's talking about impact. Will JPP have the same impact with the Bucks that Calais Campbell did last year with the Jags?
That's high cotton, Lee. High cotton. I voted for Calais Campbell, and I vote for that AP 50 member panel. I voted for him as the defensive player of the year. I thought he was that good and elevated everybody around him. They got a lot of talent, a lot of high picks, the Jalen Ramseys of the world, Miles Jack, Dante Fowler's not living up to expectations, but he was the number four pick in the draft. Campbell had a galvanizing effect on that. You knew they were talented.
I like
but
that
they
verb,
hadn't put it together.
Galvanizing.
You know what? I am very impressed with JPP. I am very. I was worried about OTAs, so all three of us. Hey, you know, the guy's got, you know, he's been a veteran. What's his motivation? The guy's been a monster. Steve, tell me if you disagree. You can write anything you want. I'll give you a magic marker. But I don't think you can disagree with this. He's impressed me as much as a run stuffer as a pass rusher. And usually those guys off the right edge that have that reputation for rushers, they're not very good against the run. The Simeon Rices of the world. They're vulnerable. If you run right at them, they're thinking about making that loop around. JPP's a load to move, Steve. He's a load.
Yeah, a couple of things on JPP. First, if you go back to that opening drive for the Bucks, JPP came out sharp all over the place, run defense. So he's been coming out sharp. In Nashville, I was there last week. I read practice. Two rare things went on there.
And they got stud tackles, the Titans. Stud tackles.
Yeah, good offensive line. JPP, at the end of Wednesday's practice, you know how they all gather together in a circle and they, you know, somebody breaks it down, starts screaming, you know, and closes practice with an inspirational message. And usually media is nowhere near that. It's in the middle of the field. Well, this was literally 8 yards from me. The team had sort of just, you know, they're not
surprised
on their home.
They didn't invite you into the huddle over there.
They're not on their home turf. They just sort of ended where they were. And, you know, maybe they didn't realize that. Who knows? It's on the road, right? So I'm right there. And JPP is bringing up the team, you know, doing his chant. And he is screaming. Every other word is MF. Every other word is MF. And he is just screaming to these guys about how much he loves football. And how much he, MF, wants to win.
The passion.
How MF important this is to him. This is after practice. And this is after a practice where he's taunting guys. And he's trash-talking like a maniac in practice. And he just, like, went wild in this practice. And it was, like, 2+ hours in the heat. And
after all these years in the National Football League.
And he's going bananas. I mean, like, he's losing it. And, you know, it was the kind of stuff that you're not going to see on Buccaneers.com because they weren't going to film the MF speech like that. And I asked Levante David after practice, I was like, you know, hey, you know, I don't remember seeing JPP trash talking like this at Bucks practice, you know, as it just not something he would do against his own guys. And Levante says that JPP said he sort of, you know, surprised David a little bit. And they went to junior college together. He said JPP feels like he has to prove himself to this roster now, before he gets on the field, that he has to show how loyal he is.
Got to get the cred.
He wants them to know how much he cares before, you know, he shows it through 3 or 4 games. And he said the trash talking part of it, he said, you know, I don't remember that much about JPP trash talking, but he wasn't doing it to his own teammates. It's not his thing to do that. So they saw a different JPP in Nashville, and maybe that could be a Calais Campbell kind of moment.
Lee, I'd be surprised. I think you would, too. If JPP is not a force week one in New Orleans, I think he's primed for that game.
I agree.
I don't know if he's coming off the right edge. I don't know if he's playing left tackle next to McCoy. I don't know if he's playing left end. I think he's going to be everywhere. And Drew Brees knows him, obviously. Drew Brees seen everything. But this guy's motivated, and he looks better than he's looked in about 3 or 4 years. Buck fans got to be excited about this guy.
Would the proper word be rejuvenated, do you think?
Rejuvenated, yeah. Change of scene. He knows Tampa well. He's got a lot of
Florida,
got a lot of fans here. Boy, if things hold to form, that trade by Light for a third-round pick, that's going to be one of the deals of 2018.
That's going to be a steal, yeah.
Well, hey, if he can raise the level of defensive line play to average and they can hold it down a little bit in the back.
Is that too high a bar, Steve?
No, it's
average.
Not. But when you're going from 32 to average, they're going to win more ball games, and they'll probably steal one of those games if they've got a decent pass rush and they can put some points up. Ira, I want to pull you back to the game. That game on Saturday night, downside for the Bucs offensively, probably the only one because they make the field goal kicker keeps on kicking. Love this guy.
Penalties.
I don't know what the hell was going on with the penalties. It was funny. I was watching that game and I was thinking, if Lee was watching that game in the regular season, I would have gotten texts. I'm blowing a gasket on this guy.
I believe two guys lined up, but not on the line of scrimmage
with the pre-snap penalties. Yeah,
I mean, come on.
And especially Beninock lines up off the line of scrimmage on a field goal.
Dotson, what are you doing?
I mean, it was dumb penalties. I mean, you know, Dotson, illegal procedure. You know, he's jumping the snap. It's just common sense stuff.
The other downturn is Ronald Jones.
The Beninock thing. But the best part of that was Catanzaro hit the 39-yard field goal, and it was called back, and then he hit the 44. So they even got an extra look for the guy, and he made that one too. But Ronald Jones, I think it's 12 carries for 11 yards. He doesn't look like a good football player yet. It's a tiny sample size.
You saw my column, Steve. I made a specific comment about Jones's running style. I'm curious to see if you guys agree or you think
it's
too early. If the play is designed to go off left guard, Barber goes off left guard and gets what he can. This guy bounces it off left end as soon as he can. It looks like he doesn't trust his offensive lineman or he's dying to get into the open field. These plays are designed to run through a certain spot. And, you know, look, this ain't Barry Sanders at this point, you know, who's got total free reign. I want Ronald Jones to be a little more patient. Lee, what are you seeing?
Well, it could be patience. You know, I'm not going to, and I wrote this Monday morning on JoeBucksman.com, I'm not going to bury the guy after two preseason games. Of course, some fans said, well, you are. I'm like, well, I'm not making it up. It's not like the Tooth Fairy's out there doing this.
You're doing your observations.
Yeah, it's just an observation. I mean, you know, I think there should be some concern. And this is why. Warren Sharp, he used to be on with our good friend Steve Dumick, the Big Dog, when he was on local sports radio in Tampa Bay. He's a handicapper. He's one of the best ones there are. And as most handicappers are, he does significant mathematical research on football and plays and players, you name it. And he came out with a stat. He tweeted this out over the weekend. There are 22 rookie running backs on NFL rosters right now. Of those 22, with at least 10 carries, no one has worse stats than Ronald Jones. And like, ooh, even a guy off the street.
Now, Steve, that's a small sample size, to be fair to Ronald Jones. Very small.
It's microscopic. But all we got to do is to watch what we're watching. Now, I'll tell you who did agree with you, and I did agree with you as well. But I have to say that I heard Dave Moore, ex-Buccaneer, 16 years in the league, on the radio broadcast. He specifically talked about Ronald Jones on a couple of plays, saying, look, his vision – he's got to understand in the NFL that if the play isn't there, unless you're sure you got it bounce to the outside, put your head down and take your 1.5 yards and
make it a positive play.
And you go for the next play if it's not there. But Jones doesn't, according to Moore, doesn't seem to be able to get that. And he's bouncing runs and he's losing two when he should be gaining 1.5.
What's Lee part of that could be Southern Cal's had better talent than its opponents for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
And the holes were big enough.
Oh, they're monstrous.
And now, you know, he's struggling with minuscule holes.
And he won't be the first running back to do that. That had holes in college when he came to the NFL. It's a different animal. I think it's interesting. Two employees of the Bucs, they're radio analysts, Dave Moore on radio, on TV, Rondé Barber, because for preseason games, those are produced by the Bucs, those broadcast. And I just thought it was funny. Rondé Barber was talking about Ronald Jones. Like, this guy's an open field runner. I almost think at times he's a better slot receiver. And the very next play, he was lined up at slot receiver.
I saw that.
I don't know if they drafted a guy second round to play out of position.
Or to run four wide and hand him draw plays. It'll be very interesting. Cutter's got to figure it out. Great comment that we got from a reader on Joe Bucks Fan. I thought it was a neat idea. You already know what you're getting from Peyton Barber. Cutter's in love with the guy. He's smiling every time he talks Peyton Barber.
Don't get him hurt.
The other day he's saying, you know, if you give him 20 carries, we know what we're going to get. And
once again, we're ahead of the curve on Joe Buck's fan. Weren't we talking about this whole second half of last season?
Of course we were. But then we got Cutter. The commenter said, hey, you know what? Just sit Peyton Barber down for this upcoming game against the Lions. Let Ronald Jones go the whole first half. You know, give him the ball a dozen times and see if he can settle in and get a
behind
rhythm.
Behind the first string offensive
yes,
line.
Yes, get some confidence. And I like that idea. It won't happen, but I like the idea.
I think that's a heck of an idea.
All right, Sage.
Maybe he'll get that. Well, you know what? He won't get that chance on the fourth game because the fourth game, all the starters will probably be sitting out.
Yeah, it'll be the mattress movers and the washing machine deliverers.
Mattress movers. I like that.
All right, Ira, a couple things. EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com is the website. EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. So proud of their support of all of your work on Joe Bucks Fan, your hard work.
By the way.
We had people screaming for your 10 takeaways. No takeaways.
Steve, last week I spoke at the Tampa Sports Club, last Wednesday night. Sports coat, Ed Morse shirt underneath. And, 25 movers and shakers. You know, and these are business people.
Was Paul
people.
Tash among them?
Paul Tash was not there, otherwise I would have walked out.
He's just a shaker. He's not a mover.
He's just a shaker.
Shaking because his company's still alive.
You know, early in my – and I talked for half an hour. I laid it all out
wow.
there.
Wow.
And and then at one point, you know, I said, you know, the trib's gone in 2016. I had to reinvent myself and join Joe Buck's Fan and then said was lucky enough to get a sponsor. And I grabbed the lapel of my jacket, and I went and I opened it up like that, Ed Morse Cadillac, and you know what? I got a round of applause.
Did you?
These are business people. They understand these business decisions.
So they enjoyed getting
flashed?
They
thought that was great. And I flashed them. And I flashed them.
Excellent work, Ira. And, of course, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon as well, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. See, you're showing your pride all over town. Just as you were talking there, Ira, I did take a peek. Your podcast, Google Play, there he is, top 50, all genres in the nation, all subjects.
This has been going on all year long, Steve.
Ira Kaufman podcast.
Years.
Now you're wedged between Outkick the Coverage, Clay Travis, Fox Sports Radio, and something called the Daily Zeitgeist. I don't know what that means. Mm. And right behind that is Trump.
You know, this team gets off to a decent start, Steve. My arrow's going up on this thing.
Right behind that is the famous Trump cast. And if we... we go down to number 49, PFT Live appears. Your friend Mike Florio is in.
Take that, Michael.
There you go. Of course, you can find Ira at iTunes, Podbean, your number one. I showed you today, popularity, Bucks-related podcasts on iTunes. So there
and
you
I'll
go.
And I'll be Sarah. Starting on Fox 13 in a couple of weeks.
Yep. Scott Smith's Tailgate Sunday. Hopefully you get a little more FaceTime.
And also starting on the Mad Dog.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
Sirius XM Mad Dog Radio for all the football season. You can catch the Sage on Wednesdays. I want to run two things by you, Ira. Oh, first, Fan Retreat. What you can do now, if you want to get in on the Fan Retreat, the Bourbon Street Takeover, now there's a T-shirt. You can get a free T-shirt. All you got to do is RSVP to get your spot on that that bus, which I mentioned earlier.
That's a great idea.
Is going from the stadium to the airport if you're traveling out. And, if you RSVP your shirt size and that you're in, they're going to get you a shirt anyway. I can promise that. It's a stick carrier shirt, so it's a very, very cool. Again, fanretreat.com, go to Popular Retreats. And if you have any questions, you can hit them up there. Going to be a lot of fun. Dirk Cutter. Got my last sheet thing on my paper here. Ira Dirk Cutter, Sunday, he was asked about Will Golston. And Will Golston's play. And he noted that Will Golston played the most snaps. They needed the bodies. But he had every opportunity in that response to say Will Golston played well. He didn't say it. Today, he was asked about Ryan Jensen. As the nasty rubbing off? How's he working in? Whatever he said, he just chose not to rave about Ryan Jensen. Now, do you read anything into that? Because Cutter sometimes loves to rave about guys when they're doing well. What do you make of that?
I don't want to read too much into it, Lee. In terms of Jensen, I think Jensen's aggressiveness is rubbing off on the line as a whole. Now, they're up and down. You know, they haven't distinguished themselves, I don't think, through two games. Sometimes the protection, Lee, is very good. Sometimes it's not very good. Run game, I want to see bigger holes gashed open by this offensive line. He loves the nasty that Jensen brings. I mean, that's been here from day one. He never talked about Jensen's technique at center.
Never has.
I think he's fine with Jensen. He's going to be the center for 16 games if he stays healthy. That's not going to change. I thought Golston played a lot better. Now, we did see more of him, but I thought he played a lot better in Tennessee than he did in Miami. I don't think his spot is assured, Lee.
Ooh, really?
I don't think his spot is assured, and I'm going to say this right now. The way this team is, with the pressure on all concerned, including the executive suite and the coach's office, if you think a guy's better than Will Golston, you can't let Golston's contract rule the day. You can't do it. This is not, 3 years ago when everybody was, secure in their jobs and Jason Light wasn't worried about a long-term extension. You got to go with the best players. If Cutter thinks somebody's better than Golston, Light better not argue with them. He better say, it's your call, coach.
I could be dead wrong here, but I'm starting to sense a pattern with Cutter. He loves to talk up his quote-unquote glue guys. Loves to talk up guys that are either bubble guys or guys behind the scenes that have secured a spot, but they like this tight end Hondo. He already said he's not a bubble guy. So if he's not a bubble guy, that means he's going to be on the team.
Honcho.
I forget his last name, unfortunately. Good guy, real good guy. And of course, he talked up Justin Watson. He's kind of he fits the definition, fits the mode of a glue guy. He's definitely a bubble guy because my gosh, you're so deep at receiver. So is that a pattern? I didn't sense. If there's like one of his glue guys or a guy that's a bubble player, he'll talk him up. Whereas if a guy is pretty secure in his job, they really have to do something for him to throw a bouquet of roses.
That might be part of it. But, overall, I think Cutter's been a little dour this training camp. I'm afraid to ask the man a question. He might snap at me, but I get my questions in once in a while. I'd like to see a few more smiles out of him. Hey, you're 2-0, buddy. You got a winning culture going on. Reflect that a little bit.
All right, we'll wrap it up. Our first two things. One, when Lee mentioned Hondo, I was like, oh, my buddy, a high school buddy, John Havlicek. I remember him. My old high school friend. In Nashville, Cutter's been wearing these, running around with these discipline-driven shirts.
And doesn't want to talk about it.
And that's his theme. And
I wouldn't either, the way the offensive line made those penalties.
And, other coaches are wearing them. So I asked him about it in Tennessee. I figured, well, maybe this is a good place for him to answer. There's not a ton of media around. Yeah, he knows we traveled hundreds of miles to get here. No, he's not answering. He's not talking about his theme.
What was that question the other day that he asked for? When somebody asked about the offensive line, how
define they, well? They asked
define him, well. What is this, Rudy Giuliani? Define well. Come on, Dirk, you can do better than that.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
That's the same thing I thought, like, Steve. Like, was the Bill Clinton dodge?
Giuliani, truth isn't truth. What'd you just say? What's going on here?
Too funny. You'll love this. Just because I know you love the silliness of it all, right? So I was at the team hotel after practice on Wednesday.
You weren't staying at the team hotel, but you were moseying over to the team hotel.
I was a fixture at the team hotel. I wasn't staying there. But that's, these tactics, right?
I figured somebody would buy him a drink at the bar, Lee. That's what it's all
about. I, from what I understand, that was a successful venture.
All right.
Well, I had this whole setup in the lobby. They had this nice table. Of course, the Bucks stay at a very nice hotel, obviously. And I'm all set up. I even had an outlet. I'm like, I'm all plugged in. I got, Joe Bucks fans.
What do you think? You're getting Cutter on a podcast? What are you doing?
I was set up for everything, right? So I'm working. I'm like, oh, I got hours. This is great. And the Bucks, they're all milling around. They're back at the hotel. A bunch of them are coming over. I'm calling them over. They're coming over to say hello. I'm talking to coaches. I'm talking to Brenton Buckner. He's
my
got
man Duffner come by. You know Duffner.
I didn't talk to Duffner. And I talked to DeSean Jackson and others and whatever. Anyway, Jason Light, Cutter walks by. I swear he saw me, but I can't bet my life on it. But he didn't acknowledge. But I can't swear that he saw me. So I don't. But, he's been a little down.
Last summer, little down. He went on our podcast, Lee. What'd we do to the man? You're blaming us for 5-11? We didn't do anything, Lee. Come on now.
He's intense.
We're going to win him over. We're going to win Cutter over, Lee.
He loves you, Ira. I know he's a supporter, but it doesn't really matter. We're here to cover this fantastic team and pray that.
Hey, training camp ends on Wednesday, Steve. It's over in a flash, baby. In a flash.
All right. How do you want this podcast to end, Ira?
I want it to end with the Bucks showing the home fans that the first two road games were not a mirage. I know it's preseason. Keep the winning going. And I know soon Lee is going to bring up that famous Lions team coached by Rod Marinelli. I know it's coming. That's for the next podcast.